Welcome back to the Classic Anglican Podcast. This is your host, Archdeacon Andrew Brazier, and I am joined today by the Venerable Dr. Julie Russell Cronk. It is a joy to have you with us, Deacon Julie. We'd love to learn a little bit about what's your role in the jurisdiction. We have a lot of people who are doing a lot of different things, and so I'd like to hear what's your official title in the jurisdiction.
My official title is the Venerable Dr. Julie Russell Cronk. I also serve as the Director of Missions and Ministries for the Chaplaincy's Directorate and as the Canon of Missions for the Chaplaincy.
That's fantastic. Archdeacon Julie, tell us about what's going on in the world of missions here within the jurisdiction, because a lot of people don't really realize that we do a lot of ministry and we have a lot of mission work in the jurisdiction. Before we dive into that and get into kind of the nuts and bolts of what's going on and how people can help out, I'd love for the listeners to learn a little bit more about yourself. Could you tell us a little bit about your background and your career?
I was raised in Alabama, as you can probably discern from my accent. I was raised Baptist, remained in the Baptist church until after college. Shortly after college, I moved to Philadelphia to further my education and work, and I lived a block and a half from an Episcopal church, and I lived in the historic area. So it was the Episcopal church where Betsy Ross belonged, where Benjamin Franklin went, very historic church, and I just really was so captivated by the liturgy. And, you know, it's very interesting because I can look back now to my youth and my Baptist upbringing, and I can see where, I don't want to say red flags, because when you're a child, you would not say red flags, but I can see areas of my religious upbringing that I noticed. I noticed, and this will come up again when we talk about my education and my professional life, but I noticed that women were not involved in the clergy in significant leadership. And I was very intrigued with the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, because Lottie Moon was well known in the Baptist circles. She served as a missionary in China, I believe for like 39 years. And she was very focused on girls and women and bringing them to Christ. So there were areas of my Baptist upbringing that even as, I would say, a youth, not a child, but as an older youth, that I saw shortcomings and I did not necessarily feel fulfilled. But throughout college, I would say I had a lapse, like probably a lot of college students do. But once I moved to Philadelphia and I just had to walk a block and a half to this Episcopal church, my spiritual walk deepened, my faith deepened, and the liturgy was very important to me. My husband and I were married in the Episcopal church, and we remained there till some changes occurring around 2005, and we felt we were ready to move on. Then we came into the Anglican Church, and interestingly, our first experience with the Anglican faith was noticing a very small sign in front of an office building one Sunday that said Anglican Church meets here, and Bill pulled up to the curb. I walked in, and it was who is now Bishop Derrick. And that's how my husband and I met Bishop Derrick. I walked in and said, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're interested in meeting with you and we'll be back. And the rest became history. We returned the following Sunday and joined in that church plant, have subsequently been involved in two Anglican church plants in Birmingham, And then we'll move on through my ordination and opportunity to serve the Lord through in the chaplaincy.
That's fantastic. That's incredible. I did not realize that's how you came into Anglicanism and came into the jurisdiction as well. So that's phenomenal. So how long have you been with the jurisdiction then?
I have been with the jurisdiction since 2011. I was ordained by Bishop Derrick in November of 2011.
That's incredible. I did not realize it had been that number of years.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. That's great. And then you mentioned going to school in Philadelphia. Tell the listeners a little bit about your professional background.
After I graduated from college, I was married, raising children, and I had considered returning to school at some point. Mm-hmm. When the children were a little older. I subsequently, in my mid-30s, went to graduate school. I earned 3 graduate degrees, including a doctorate in counseling. My professional background is in counseling, both community counseling and rehabilitation counseling. I've been in private practice since 1997, mm-hmm. and actually next month, September of 2024, I will be retiring professionally from counseling.
Well, congratulations on that. Well deserved, yes. And well earned. And an impressive feat to have that many graduate degrees. I can only imagine that background professionally helps you in terms of the work that you're doing for the jurisdiction, overseeing the missions and being able to interact and serve people. Really not only throughout your community, but I know, because I know you, you know, throughout the world even. I would love for the listeners to hear a little bit about the missions that you're overseeing. Could you kind of tell us a little bit about what is the jurisdiction doing? Because I doubt many people know about it outside of chaplaincy.
Bill and I have had a heart. We have felt called to missions since really about 2011, we have served on the mission field in Guatemala. We've made 15 trips to Guatemala.
Wow.
As canon of missions, I oversee all of our mission efforts, and one was in Guatemala. We mm-hmm. had a chaplain serving in Guatemala. He has now transferred to another diocese mm-hmm. In Central America. But through our heart for missions, through opportunities that only God could have orchestrated, we began serving in 2011. I'll share with you the missions missions that the chaplaincy has. When Bishop Derrick asked me in 2015 if I would serve as canon of missions, that role officially began in January of 2016. I'm the first canon of missions, and that's when missions were truly organized. One of our chaplains is Canon Georgette Forney, who is the director of Anglicans for Life. So the chaplaincy provided some support for her, and we had the adoption fund, which supported Anglican families in the process of adopting children. That has now folded into Anglicans for Life. So really, the mission efforts were not organized and were very limited mm-hmm. and more on a casual basis. Bill and I had formed a 501c3 for ministry, an effort we had established called Visions of Grace. And I will explain that in a minute. So Bishop Derrick asked, would we bring that into formal organization with the Anglican chaplaincy? And would I lead the mission efforts? Bishop Derrick has structured the missions and responded to the Bible. They are very prayerfully and biblically based. Christ has called us to go out to the world, to mm-hmm. serve widows and orphans. Chaplains are missional by nature, but Bishop Derrick has really led the chaplaincy, led the mission efforts, very biblically based to answer Christ's call. And the missions we have, I will name them, and then I will share some information about them.
Yeah, Anglican, please do.
Yeah, Anglican Health Ministries, Anglicans for Life, Hats from the Heart, Visions of Grace, the St. Timothy Fund, the Canine Ministry, and the St. Christopher Fund. The last three I named, the St. Timothy Fund, the Canine Ministry, and the St. Christopher Fund, are our three newest mission efforts. And they were all started within the last year.
Yeah. Tell us about each one and what they do. That'd be fantastic.
Anglican Health Ministries is really grounded. It's a ministry that is really grounded in Anglican tradition, and it focuses on the body, the mind, and the soul of individuals and congregations. It really seeks to guide and develop, and I would certainly say strengthen, an existing ministry within a parish to the specific needs of that parish, and equip individuals within the parish to lead and support this ministry. So let me give you an example. February is Heart Health Month. A parish can have a representative. It can be a lay representative. It does not need to be someone in the healthcare industry to say, this is American Heart Month, and I just want to hand out some information and encourage you that you may need to have a heart screening. Throughout the year, it can be focused on various months and specific issues. I believe May is National Mental Health Month. So, or let's say it's time for flu shots. The representative in this parish can put in the bulletin, have announcements, have a board that just encouraging parishioners to focus on their health, whether it's their physical health, their mental health, whether there are opportunities for spiritual retreats, conferences, prayer efforts. So it's really focused on the total person, physically, mentally, and spiritually. I think so many people are aware of Anglicans for Life and the tremendous work they do, focusing on entire lifespan of an individual from conception through end of life. And as I mentioned a short while ago, the adoption fund is now part of Anglicans for Life. It's just a larger umbrella that can really spread the work and the focus of adoption and support families in adoption financially, spiritually, with educational materials. The Anglicans for Life website is tremendous and has a lot of information really to offer. I encourage everyone to look at it. Hats from the Heart, actually an interesting story. In July of 2020, we were deep in the midst of COVID, and it was the last week of July, and I woke up one weekday morning, and God said, Julie, you cannot knit all of the baby hats that are needed for babies in need. Mm-hmm. And this came off of, I've been a lifelong knitter. I've knitted for over 40 years. And in these trips to Guatemala, I would meet families who lived in the garbage dump. Yep. They lived in the slum, and they lived high in the mountains. We worked with the Mayan indigenous Indians. And all of these groups of people were disenfranchised. The poverty was greater than anything I had ever seen. And I established a relationship with a family, an intact family in the garbage dump who had six girls and was expecting a seventh who was a boy. And I was knitting them a baby hat. The baby was due in July of 2020. When I woke up this particular morning, the last week of July 2020, and God laid this on my heart, he said, and this will be called Hats from the Heart. Since that time, and we're at 4 years, the jurisdiction has just so generously had contributions of almost 5,000 baby hats that knitters and crocheters from all over the U.S. and we've had one from Canada have just lovingly and prayerfully made for babies. They have gone to 27 countries. There are three new countries that will receive shipments this fall. And they are requested by Anglican clergy and missionaries. They go to families living in refugee camps. They go to children in hospitals, orphanages. Wherever a missionary or clergy sees the need, they've gone to war-torn countries. We sent quite a few to Ukraine. But they carry with them a Bible verse. Not only are they prayed over before the contributor sends them to me, I pray over them as I pack them. And the receiving clergy or missionaries pray over them, and they're distributed. Never in my wildest dreams did I think a simple item that we would just go to the store and buy for our child would mean so much to a family. And I've received pictures, I've received thank you notes that have said people cry over receiving these hats. They're like, someone cared about me and my baby to make something special. They didn't get it out of the trash. It wasn't donated second or third hand. It was lovingly made and fresh for a particular baby. It's amazing what God does, how Absolutely. He uses the simplest items. He uses us. You don't have to have a special calling, a special skill or talent. All God does is ask, will you serve? Who is going to serve? Who am I going to send? Serving in so many ways, in the simplest of ways. And so this has also been wonderful for the contributors. My oldest knitter was 93 years old.
Wow, that's great. Yes.
She has developed arthritis and can't knit.
Bless her.
But she still checks in. She cares about the ministry. My oldest knitter is 87. She lives in Florida. She is a dynamo. Her knitting is beautiful, and she sends hats by the dozens.
That's amazing.
The youngest knitter is 11 years old.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes.
And she asked her grandmother to knit, teach her to knit, so that she could provide hats for the babies after seeing one of our flyers. So that has been a tremendous ministry. The Visions of Grace, which Bill and I started out as an eye care ministry, and we would partner with medical teams and provide vision screening, glasses, eye drops to these disenfranchised populations, both in remote and urban areas. We would have prayer with them, or we would have prayer members with them. We would have Bibles and tracts in their language. That was a tremendous blessing. We've also had a general medical team go to Guatemala City and work in a school. So, yes, that is ongoing, and we have seen some incredible miracles that only God could orchestrate through that effort. Our three newest ministries are the St. Timothy Fund, which was established last September, and that is a fund for youth of chaplains ages 13 to 21. They can apply for funding. For context, that would develop or further develop or enhance their spiritual formation. So we were able to award our very first scholarship this spring to the daughter of a chaplain to go to Camp Caleb, which is a spiritual camp for youth of military, those serving in the military. And in her application, she wrote that being the child of a military chaplain, They move every few years, and that can be challenging in establishing and developing friendships. So she went to Camp Caleb for a week, wrote a beautiful thank you note to the committee on how this experience and the funds that were awarded her just were so meaningful for she and her family. The K-9 ministry was established earlier in the year. Chaplain Wally Jensen leads it. Yep. And it is a ministry in which he and his wife have been involved in for years. The target audience is chaplains and families who will commit to raising a puppy before the puppy enters training to be a service dog. So we know men and women who have suffered traumatic injury often need a service dog to support their restoration of functioning and just to enhance their daily living experiences. And so there are actually three opportunities for participation that all involve puppy raising. Just like you would raise a puppy you would bring into your family. And then the newest, which is in the development process now, and we plan to launch in September, is called the St. Christopher Fund.
Yeah.
And that is going to be a collection of homes, hostels, and various places for those in ministry and their families to go for retreat and refreshment. Some will be free, some will be low cost. It's open to those in ministry, lay chaplains. It's open to missionaries, church employees, standing committee members, those who are ordained. But we anticipate, and the initial feedback we're getting is that this will be just a tremendous blessing for those in need that could use a time of refreshment and rest and have the support of a chaplain. These are all extremely exciting opportunities, and I have to say, it's just, it's an awesome opportunity. It's a humbling experience, and to serve the Lord and serve the chaplaincy in this area.
Praise God. So glad to hear about each one of those ministries. And that's a lot to keep track of and a lot of work there. How are some ways that if someone's listening to this today and they said, you know, one of those ministries, maybe it's Hats from the Heart, maybe it's Visions of Grace, maybe it's supporting the K-9 ministry or others, how can I help out? What would you say to them so they could pitch in, whether or not it's through getting their hands and feet dirty, you know, being the hands and feet of Christ, or sharing something else out of their time, treasure or talents?
Sure. So I would first encourage the listeners to go to the website. Mm-hmm. I have an interesting story about that. So there's a church in California who has been very faithful in contributing hats over the last several years. The lady at the church who coordinates collecting the hats and sending them to me was very curious about the Anglican chaplaincy. Mm-hmm. So she sent me an email and said, I went to your website and I wanted to learn more about this ministry and Anglican chaplains. Yeah. And then I found ETF and the podcast. And she is a faithful listener to the ETF podcast.
Well, so, we're so glad for that.
Yes, I thought that was quite interesting. But I would suggest first going to the website, pray for these mission efforts, pray mm-hmm. for their fruitfulness, for mm-hmm. those leading them, for those serving. I so deeply believe in the power of prayer. I've seen the fruitfulness of prayer, and I do not want to underestimate how valued prayer is. If you are someone who knits or crochets or knows of someone who knits or crochets hats, We can always use more baby hats. The pattern, the color, the size is all at the maker's discretion.
Okay.
But hats for babies and young children.
What would they need to do? Like if I started knitting, A, my wife would be impressed. I'd be impressed too. But B, what would I do with it once I finished
what
up?
What would you do with those hats?
Yeah.
Well, you would mail them to me.
Okay.
And actually, Archdeacon Andrew, would you put my email?
I will. I'll put that in our show notes.
In your notes. And before we wrap up today, I will give my email address that someone has a question about or wants to contact me for any reason. I want them to be able to contact me.
Absolutely.
If you would be interested in raising a puppy, that would be tremendous. Puppy raisers are needed. And if you feel that you could not share, that you could not totally take on the responsibility of raising a puppy for 15 to 18 months, 24 months at the most, maybe you could co-share that with another family, or maybe you could be involved more in respite to give, let's say a family raising a puppy is going on a two-week vacation and cannot take the puppy. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could offer your home for a brief period of time. If someone were to want to contribute financially, on our website, there are drop-down boxes for each of these missions and ministries. So they can go to the website and then look them up. I have always felt God calls us. He puts us where he wants us when he wants us there. I never felt I had a particular gifting or skill. I felt I have the heart. I have the heart for the flock. And but I never felt I had a particular gifting or skill. And all I did was say, sure, I'll go on my first mission trip. And then God used me in ways I could have never imagined, which led to how I'm able to serve today. So it could be praying. It could be sending items. It could be providing supplies. All of this is needed in missions. It's not just going.
Mm-hmm.
I view prayer and background support behind the scenes as going as well. We're all serving the kingdom just in different ways.
So I would encourage the listener that if you want to reach out and learn more about a particular mission that has been discussed today, or you want to send some sort of supply, help, or need that has been mentioned on this podcast, to contact Archdeacon Julie by reaching out to her on email, Julie, that's J-U-L-I-E dot Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L dash Crunk, C-R-U-N-K, at AnglicanChaplains.org. We will put that also in the show notes. In addition to that, we keep mentioning the website. We'll actually define what that website is. That's AnglicanChaplains.org. And when you go there, you'll see that in the menu on the top corner, we've got something for ministries that you can click and go to that lists out all of our ministries and also affiliated ministries with the jurisdiction of Armed Forces and Chaplaincy. I'd also encourage you to click around there. You'll see Hats from the Heart, Visions of Grace. We've got some information that's coming up soon on the K-9 ministry, but you've heard more about it on this episode, along with the St. Christopher Ministry, Anglicans for Life, and Anglican Health Ministries. So what I encourage the listeners to do is if you're wanting to serve, you're wanting to participate, you're wanting to find out more, because we've whet your appetite, hopefully, about the missions and ministries we're doing in the jurisdiction, go to AnglicanChaplains.org/ministries, and you'll find out everything you need to know to get started. And reach out to Archdeacon Julie. I'm sure she'd love to chat with you and give you more background on what are the needs and how you can help. I think it also would be worthwhile highlighting, like you mentioned, Archdeacon, about the donate button. We have a donate button there for Anglican Chaplains. And if you feel moved and feel led to dedicate a portion of your treasure to the jurisdiction and its ministry, you can click on there, and you can actually click on the fund that it's going to, and you can put it for one of a number of our missions or ministries that you feel led to contribute to. So that being said, Archdeacon Julie, it's been an absolute blessing getting to talk with you, learn more about your role and what's going on within the jurisdiction. Do you have any parting words of encouragement or any other additional info you'd like to share with us before we close?
More than 40% of people groups are unreached. That equates to over 3 billion people in the world. My hope and my prayer is that we can each play some role in responding to God's call to reach these people. My hope is that those little baby hats reach people around the world. But I would just encourage everyone to prayerfully seek how God is calling you to serve the kingdom. Everything about missions excites me. And to have the opportunity to share my heart and the work of the jurisdiction with you today is really special for me. I thank you so much for the invitation to be here.
My role
is very small. My role is very small in the kingdom, but for all that the chaplaincy does and in the ways Bishop Derek leads us, I'm very humbled to be a part of this.
Well, thank you for spearheading and uniting those efforts. A lot of that can be behind the scenes work and herding cats. So thank you for herding those cats and keeping the focus on the mission that Christ is calling us to. So with that being said, let's close out in prayer. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son came not to be served, but to serve, we ask you to bless all who, following in his steps, give themselves to the service of others. Especially we pray for Archdeacon Julie and all those who are working with her in these missions we've discussed today. Endue them, O Lord, with wisdom, patience, and courage, that they may strengthen the weak and raise up those who fall. And being inspired by your love, may worthily minister to the suffering, the friendless, and the needy. For the sake of him who laid down his life for us, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.